everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas, and today is our live prophecy reality edition. We're going to talk about news items and a few other things during this first hour. Second hour, we're going to jump back into our history of apocalyptic interpretation and continue in that series. So you want to stick around for that. So if you're listening, also if you're listening live, you can come over to on Wednesday morning, that is. You can come over to firstamendmentradio.net and click on the chat button and join us in the chat room. We'd like to see you there. Otherwise, just keep listening wherever you're at. I know it's not always convenient to stop and join a chat room or something, but you can keep working while you listen. Let me check the chat room here. Yeah, we got a couple people in there. WW, Ty, and Bass Tracker, and Far Out, and yours truly. Okay. My good friend, Michael, who from Virginia, who used to be my producer, he sent me an article. And I found it a very interesting article, so I'm going to cover that. Now this article, and if you're subscribed to my list, I posted it, appropriately posted it, because I looked for the article and for its original place, the site that it was originally on, as far as I could tell, is already taken down. But this article, let me see if I can get it on the screen here for my viewers here, is by a David Martin. Well, I did a little search on David Martin, and it says that he is an American correspondent. This is the guy here. Probably seen him. He works for CBS. Says he's currently the network's national security correspondent, reporting from the Pentagon, a position he's held since 1993, and he's 75 years old. So, kind of. Well, I think he's the author of this article. Couldn't find another David Martin out there, so we might want to pay a little attention to what this guy has to say. And, you know, take all of this with a grain of salt, too. The world will report one thing and mean something else, or, so we have to look at it in the light of Bible prophecy. Globalists no doubt are having regrets that President Trump was invited to address the 72nd United Nations General Assembly on September 19th, and so this was a year ago, since it provided him with a platform to advance the very things the UN has warred against from its beginning, namely a coalition of independent nations which stand against global despotism. And while some will argue that the UN has conservative lobby groups operating on its outer perimeters, this is only done as camouflage to give the organization an air of peace and democracy. He continues, the fact is that the UN has never been about peace, but about war against peace. Well, that wouldn't be their declared intent, but we'll continue here. Evidence most especially by its bloodthirsty quest for abortion and anti-life. Now, I kind of wondered, is this the same David? This might be a different David Martin, because most of these CBS writers, or maybe that's why this article is off the internet, maybe it's a different David Martin, not the same one, because most of these guys that work for the big networks are pro-abortion, so this is kind of... seems like it's written by maybe a Christian of the same name. I'm beginning to lean that way. But still, it seems like to be a well-written article. True concord among nations must have as its foundation the precepts of Christ, not the Luciferian precepts of Freemasonry and the Illuminati. Yet the echelons of the UN are comprised of the secret society members of the Illuminati, who engage in witchcraft and satanic black mass. It was these Illuminati Grand Masters that founded the UN on June 26, 1945, for the purpose of enslaving the nations under an internationalist one-world government. However, it didn't happen overnight. The cult of the Illuminati Grand Masters goes back to the time of the Pharisees, with their practice of sorcery and their murder of the Christ. The written form of the Pharisaic tradition is the Talmud, penned in by the descendants of the Pharisees, which forms the backbone of modern Judaism, and which hurls the most hateful and pornographic insults against Jesus Christ, even condemning him to hell to boil in his own excrement. The Talmudic cult came up through the ages as the key persecutor of religion, though it formerly wasn't known by any particular name other than pagan or infidel. The name Illuminati, signifying light bearer, was first used by a 15th century sect that claimed to possess the light of Lucifer. The movement then assumed a more structured form in 1776 with the founding of the Illuminati in Germany by Adam Weishaupt, a Jewish philosopher and Talmudist. He supposedly converted and became a priest of the Jesuit order. Supposedly? Yeah, well, there's a little hit there, a little hit drop there. But after being expelled from the ranks, oh, he was expelled from being a Jesuit. He seems very Jesuitical to me. But after being expelled from the ranks, he harbored a vicious hatred against God and the Roman Catholic Church, and thence was committed to founding a global system that would war against Christ and subjugate the world's peoples to the authority of a world government run by a small financial elite. Meanwhile, Mayor Amschel of the Rothschild banking dynasty was in search of a way to establish world control through his financial empire. Being a Talmudist himself, he knew that in order for his dark empire to succeed, the Catholic Church, with its illuminating force, would have to be destroyed. Really? Well, we'll comment more on that later. In 1773, when he met with Weishaupt, and seeing his sinister ambitions, he commissioned him to formulate a system that would advance his own aspirations, and in turn he vowed to financially support Weishaupt's war against religion. Okay. He knew that in order for his dark empire to succeed, the Catholic Church would, you know, I wish I had some footnotes for this. I would really like to see where this is documented. That's, I don't like articles like this where they don't footnote their, like, he knew. Is somebody just making this up? Or is God, I mean, if this is true, that he knew in order, this is his thinking. If this is his true thinking, that he thought in order for his dark empire to succeed, the Catholic Church with its illuminating force would have to be destroyed. One, he would have to be deluded into thinking that the Catholic Church was some kind of illuminating force for good in the world, or maybe not for good. Maybe he recognized it as an illuminating force for evil because of all the destruction and loss of life and constant struggles of the Catholic Church, because after all, what's his aim? He wants world peace through a one world order, right? Okay, anyway, he met with Weishaupt, that is Mayor Amschel Rothschild, okay, of the Red Shield banking dynasty. Seeing his sinister ambitions, he commissioned him to formulate a system that would advocate his own aspirations, and in turn vowed to financially support Weishaupt's war against religion. Hence, we saw the birth of the Illuminati, which from that point would labor incessantly to replace the institutionalized order of God with its own. The Illuminati would then be the foundation of all anarchist movements to follow, including the French Revolution of 1789. Okay, so is this the truth? Did this Illuminati have something to do with fomenting the French Revolution of 1789 and really the war on Catholicism? Now, these are evil men conspiring together to do evil for their own purposes in the world. But see, God even uses the intent of evil men to carry out his purpose, which I believe in the French Revolution being about the end of the 1260-year reign of the papal Antichrist, okay, that God used perhaps these evil men and their intent for his purpose to punish anti-Christianism. Because that's what Catholicism and the papacy and the old world papal order was. It was the anti-Christian church, the church of the great apostasy. Nearing 2 billion adherents now. The Catholic Church and all of its whore daughters are exceeding, if not nearing, practically nearing 2 billion adherents at this time. So still, it was the greatest apostasy when it was recognized, okay, by the reformers at the beginning and even leading up to the Reformation, the pre-Reformation and Reformation fathers, we'll call them. They recognized the Catholic Church as that great apostasy and thereupon accepted the idea that the papacy was the very seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin. So, God used Babylon to punish Israel when the temple was first destroyed about 500-600 B.C. And then again, he used the Roman Empire, the Iron Empire, that pagan empire of Rome, to punish Israel finally after tearing their exclusive nation status with him from them at the end of the 70 weeks. 70 weeks were determined. And yes, I'm here to tell you that the number of the week that followed the 69th was not null. It was 70. 70 comes after 69. God was not kidding when he said 70 weeks are determined. We've talked about that plenty. But he used pagan Rome to punish Israel and destroy the city, the temple, and brought the end with a flood, okay? And so again, now we have visible Christendom on earth. Visibly, the head of it would be not Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be a type or maybe even a symbol in the Revelation of the capital of the visible church on earth, as Jerusalem was the visible capital of God's ecclesia on earth when Israel was God's nation, okay? Also the head of his ecclesia, because his ecclesia was in a nation. When the 70 weeks were determined and they came to their end, that status was ripped away from them. Then, thus began, for nearly 40 years, the time of Jacob's trouble. And that was the 40-year period from the crucifixion of Christ, about 30 A.D., to 70 A.D., with the total annihilation. That's the only place that I can biblically place the time of Jacob's trouble, a 40-year period. And when the 70th week follows the 69th, as it does in history, you see the completion of Daniel's prophecy, completely fulfilled in history. So again, we come to the end and the punishment of the great whore church, just as Israel turned into a great whore church. Of course, there was a remnant then. There was a remnant at both times when God decreed his punishment upon national Israel and destroyed it twice. Brought it back once, to complete his work in Israel, as promised, as he promised to the patriarchs and David, to bring forth the Messiah, the son of David, to rule forever, a king priest after the order of Melchizedek. So again, we come about to the end of the 1260 years, and we see the outbreak of the French Revolution and the punishment upon the Catholic nation, the visible nation of the church in the entire Western Empire of the Roman Church. And then finally, the whole of Europe is punished by these punishments, and also the seed of the beast. The punishment was poured out upon the seed of the beast, all as prophesied in the scripture itself. And we cover all these things. I got plenty of articles. You can read this book. You can read many of the articles I have. Our updated third edition of the Hori Apocalypticae. If you only get one, get the third edition of the Hori Apocalypticae if you're interested in what's going on and how it applies to now, because it is the updated, brought up to date using the historicist method of interpretation. Okay. So that's the third edition. Plus, you can read those articles for free. You go to horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com and pay special attention to many of the articles there. Okay, well, let's continue with our article here. The Illuminati banks on its own secrecy to make its gains. Yes, the Antichrist has learned the lessons of history very well. Oh, he has a place in that is on the world stage, but it's a veiled place. He keeps the veil in front, and he only allows you to see what he wants you to see. But I'll tell you what he shows, what the current man of sin reveals to us is enough. But it speaks to the world. It speaks to the anti-Christian, apostate Christian, and pagan world loudly, because it's exactly what they want to hear. Because the only illumination coming from the Vatican is the illumination of darkness. So he says, the Illuminati banks on its own secrecy to make its gains. When certain people started growing wise to their secret plotting in the 1800s, members found it necessary to camouflage their existence in order to keep the public in the dark. And see, that's why I equate the Illuminati with the Jesuit order. Because this is the very definition of Jesuitism. So they camouflage their existence to keep the public in the dark. So they began operating under different names and different parts of the globe. Hence, the Council on Foreign Relations was born, founded in 1921. The CFR is nothing more than the North American branch of the Illuminati, which is nothing more than a cover for the Jesuit order. The papal counter-Protestant or counter-Reformation army. And most of the world don't care. Most people just see, they hear what I say, they think I'm nuts. That's fine. If you think I'm nuts, you just go on the way you're going, because, you know, most of those people are never going to hear what I have to say or be never going to listen to anything I have to say. And, you know, I pray that God only exposes what I have to say to his elect. Because I really don't need to speak to the world. Because if I speak to the world, it's only for their condemnation. Sorry to say. You know, every minister of God has a twofold ministry. And one is a ministry unto righteousness, because people hear the gospel, they hear the truth, they understand the reality of the world they live in, they repent from their evil, and they start to walk in the light, even as he is in the light. The other is the ministry of condemnation for those that will never repent or refuse to repent. They hate the word repentance simply because repentance means to change your mind, and they are not interested at all in changing their mind. So the words they hear are words of condemnation. But, you know, as Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Men are already condemned. I condemn no one. The only condemnation is in your own heart, is a witness from God himself. And some people's consciences are so seared that they can't even feel condemnation. They only attack what they hate, and that is the truth. So the Illuminati banks on its own secrecy, and they've worked through other organizations such as the CFR and many, many more. Admiral Chesterboard, former judge advocate of the U.S. Navy, was a lower step CFR member for 16 years before resigning in disgust. He said, "The main purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is promoting the disarmament of the U.S. sovereignty and national independence and submergence to an all-powerful one-world government." So that could probably be researched there, that statement there. And, you know, you can do this yourself. Like, if this is a quote, well, I should be able to do this and go search Google for the quote. "A new American has some of the same words, but I don't see the same exact quote anywhere. So I don't know if it's truncated. Let's see. Web of the Illuminati. Yeah. Here it is right here. So you'll find the same quote in other places. That's easy to do. Okay, we're going to continue with this article when we return from some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And, well, visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe there and spread the articles around. Use the Facebook button there and share as much as you can. Thank you.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled when the third temple is built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're talking about the UN plan for a tyrannical one world government. The article's at my website, crosstheborder.org. I just put in there tyrannical one world government in the search box and you'll find it. Or if you're subscribed to me, you got a link to it in your email. So make sure you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and press the follow button there. And that way you'll be notified whenever we do a live broadcast, which is usually once a week, and of other posts and things that we do. But you won't be overwhelmed with stuff. One or two posts a week is about the limit for me. Sometimes a little more, sometimes less. But please do subscribe and share the articles there and be enlightened to the historical biblical prophecy and its right interpretation, as right as we can, as I can get it as a man anyway. But I've got a lot of history behind me and a lot of history to learn from. And speaking of which, in the second hour we're going through the history of apocalyptic interpretation by E.B. Eliot. So if you want to follow along with that, stay tuned for that, and you'll hear how expositors have interpreted prophecy throughout history, most of it wrong, but it is quite a learning experience. Gives you a circumspect view of prophecy. Okay, we're going to jump back into our article here, the UN plan for tyrannical one-world government, and continue commenting on that. We talked about Admiral Chester Ward, he said, who quit in disgust. He resigned as a member of the CFR. He said the main purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is promoting the disarmament of U.S. sovereignty and national independence and submergence into an all-powerful one-world government. And that one-world government is the UN. It is the New World Order, as opposed to the old world order. Some people say, well, the new world order is the old. Yes, it is, but the capital's in a different place. The second beast of Revelation created an image of the first beast, yes, which was a world governing authority. The old world governing authority has an image created for it through which it will rule the world, or does, or attempts to rule the world, as it did of old time. And that image of the old world order beast is the UN, the new world order. Okay, you get it? New world as opposed to old world. That's all there is to it. Okay? And it's new because it's newer. That's it. And it's in the new world. Okay, as opposed to the old world. Okay, consider also this quote from the late CFR chairman, David Rockefeller. Some even believe we are, this is a quote, some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. And that's from his memoirs, page 405 in 2002. So that should be easy to verify if he wrote that. But it sounds like something that a globalist would be proud to say. Yeah. All right. The same cabal today is working to bring the nations to a collision through its political stronghold in New York, just as it is fueling Kim Jong-un's nuclear threat, since the plan of the UN global architects is to create a global state of emergency that will give them an excuse to step in and offer their solution for world peace. In that saying is true, they create problems so they can turn around and solve it. And we know there's a lot of this going on, that people being pushed to do things they otherwise wouldn't. Yeah, a lot of pressure being asserted by these globalists for their own advantages. We saw the strategy applied at the end of World War II. CFR members told President Truman that the Japanese had not surrendered in order to convince him that nuclear intervention was necessary, but actually the Japanese had surrendered 6 months earlier with no resistance. Now, I don't know if that's verifiable or not. It may be true and it may not be true, but that's what the article says. The plan was to create a worldwide terror so that the wearied nations would welcome the idea of a world peacekeeping organizations. Hence, it was no accident that the nuking of Hiroshima and Nagasaki occurred just 2.5 months before the UN was solidified on October 24th. You know, they say in politics, nothing happens by accident. And you better believe that this was all planned in advance. I believe it was all planned in advance. There's no doubt in my mind. I've seen the way we work. It's like when they had 9-1-1. You know, the Patriot Act, you know, which they had to use a hand truck to bring into Congress, and it was so large that nobody could read it in time to vote for it. They had to vote for it unread. Yeah, sightseen. That's too big to read, right? And they didn't write that overnight. They said, well, we want, this is what we want, and we need something to get it off. So I still believe, even though we've had our 17th anniversary of 9-1-1 here this month, I still believe that it was an Illuminati, or should we say a job put forward by the Antichrist and his minions, because, you know, it got the Antichrist, the Counter-Reformation, has got Protestants believing not in Protestantism anymore. They know not what they protest. Most of them don't even know what the Inquisition was, or that there was an Inquisition. They don't know that Martin Luther and the reforming fathers cried loudly that the Catholic Church was the great apostasy of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that the papacy was the seat of the Antichrist, the very man of sin. There's no doubt about it. I have articles on my website. You can check it out yourself. You know, they're there. Just peruse the articles. You'll see them. Martin Luther, what he said about the Antichrist. You know, there's no doubt. You can't read it a different way. What he said is clear, that the papacy was the seat of the Antichrist. Protestants have forgot what the word protest means in their name, Protestant. That is because the Counter-Reformation army of the Antichrist has done his job very well. Very well. So we have the New World Order, the image of the beast. This solidification of the UN was the culmination of years of planning by the CFR, which had gained the de facto control of our foreign policy during the Roosevelt administration, immediately after our entry into World War II. Actually, they were getting in with the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. Once you have the money power, you have everything, because you can buy everything. Because everything in this world can be bought, including government, because men are corruptible. The best of men are corruptible. God, in his wisdom, put corruptible men in charge of the money on planet Earth, because money corrupts. And like I said, even the best of men can be corrupted by power, by wisdom, by knowledge, and certainly by that root of all kinds of evil. Money, certainly by that. The CFR planted the idea of a world-governing peace organization under the name Informal Agenda Group. They proceeded to draft the plan for United Nations, which they presented to FDR, global tyranny step by step. This same CFR clique now controls the UN, and under the guise of peace, they now seek to subdue the U.S. under a godless one-world government. So we might see Trump's statement to the UN General Assembly, "We need to defeat the enemies of humanity," as referring also to the UN. May Trump's future vision of a future shared dignity, peace and people of this wonderful world, wonderful earth, serve to elicit worldwide support for his plan of independent nations, and not be used by UN globalists to elicit worldwide support for their plan for a communistic one world government. Well, we don't have to worry about Trump's effect on the UN. Certainly, he's taking them in a direction that they did not want to go. They were, you know, they had their freight train and they're headed in one direction. A lot of things they don't like about him. But here's the problem, you know, is Trump is under control of the beast, and he may not, I don't believe he even knows it. I think that the man is genuine, and has genuinely, and I'm going to use these words, changed his mind about many things. Yeah, it's called repentance, folks. You know, maybe he didn't, I don't know if he prayed a sinner's prayer. Probably he did. He's got enough of these so-called Christians around him. And I think he's still under control of the beast, because he's doing a lot of things that he said that he was opposed to. And you can see that he's tried to carry out some of his ideas, and he's carried some of them out. I'm certainly glad that Obama or Hillary or Bernie Sanders aren't in the presidency. And I'm certainly hoping that Trump gets another 4 years, because I don't see how it gets better than Trump. Trump is a socialist too, also, and he just doesn't know better. Yeah, he thinks it's the right thing to do because he doesn't understand God's word. Most Christians don't understand God's word, and that it's wrong, that it's covetousness and theft to participate in socialism. God's plan, you know, is much better for government. And we talked about that some. And that brings me to the other article that I published on my website. Let me see if I can find that here. Ah, is it Mark of the Beast time yet? And I talked about this a little bit last week and said I was going to do this. So I contacted, this is about getting a passport for someone who's not a socialist. Because if you're not a socialist, you know, you lose many of your privileges and immunities in America. Yeah. Well, and I'm a witness to this, because I've withdrawn from socialism. I've repented of socialism, and so I will not participate. As a matter of fact, I believe that the socialist number that they give you is the mark of the beast. Okay. And no doubt in my mind, because it's worldwide now, it's in every nation. They just call it different things in different nations. Like people have different languages, they put different labels on things in other languages and other nations, but it is the same thing. It is socialism. It is worldwide socialism. And I believe in our country, it's run by the Vatican, because it's run by his Federal Reserve Bank, the Department of Treasury, I believe. Okay? So anyway, I talked to them there at the National Passport Center to say, wait, you know, it's been 6 months. Where's my passport? This is supposed to happen in 8 weeks at the outmost. So I thought someone called me from the Passport Center around the end of March. So almost 90 days. And so this is my letter in response. I called them. They said, oh, it's still processing, but that's all the information we have. That's all the information we can give you over the phone, is that your passport application is processing. That's all the computer says. It's processing. It says, I advise you to write to this address for further information. So I did. I wrote to the address, and here's my letter. Okay. Dear agent name, and I'm not going to use the agent's name that I talked to for his own privacy. After talking with you and answering your questions several months ago, I thought that my passport would be forthcoming. Subsequently, upon calling the passport center, I was told that I would be required to make contact by letter at this address for further information, as my application was processing without further information. I can only assume that the holdup is due to my sincerely held religious belief that the SSN is the biblical mark of the beast. Because most people have volunteered to participate in socialism, I do expect things to be more difficult for those of us who repent, withdraw, and refuse to continue to participate in what we believe is covetousness and theft, therefore a violation of God's law. This has only become more obvious and firm in my belief over the passage of times and events. I, however, do believe that America is still a free country, where I am not required to be a socialist or participate in socialism against my will. I hope that I am not mistaken, but God's Word, the Bible, does indicate a time when all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, will be required to participate, and that eventually upon pain of death, but certainly upon loss of liberty is where it will begin. To this loss of liberty, I have been a living witness as I am refused many privileges in the New World monetary system, which has kept me and my family living a very modest, what many would consider poverty level, lifestyle. But as the prophet David said, I have never seen the righteous go hungry or begging for bread. Thus, God has not failed to feed us and provide the necessities of life so that we do not find it advantageous to sin by begging the beast state for socialist benefits. Now, the government can use any of its account numbers in its files in any way it desires or deems preferential for its own record keeping. I, however, cannot participate, accept, use or affirm any such financial number issued by a government, biblically symbolized as a beast, that is used for buying or selling, as this would constitute a violation of the Revelation chapter 13 warning against receiving the mark of the beast. I say, let every man live according to his conscience, as we must all individually answer to the Almighty on the judgment day. I only hope that I am not denied my liberty to travel for living according to my conscience. If you have any further questions required to complete processing my applications, please feel free to write me at the below address. Thank you for your kind consideration. And that letter is posted on my website, so if you want to see, you can go there. It's in one of the top articles there. Or you can, if it's later on you're hearing this, is it Mark of the Beast time yet? Is the name of the article if you want to search it out. Okay, well, that goes to a lot of what we're talking about. Socialism, the UN agenda. The current Antichrist is a avowed socialist, and you hear a lot about social justice. The Antichrist, Mark of the Beast system, monetary system, is social commu-fascism. It's like all of those wrapped up into one. Okay? Socialism is practiced in America so far is voluntary. Okay? Communism is not voluntary. And that's why I say I still believe we're living in a free country, and that many Christians don't understand what socialism is and their participation, that their participation is a violation of God's law. Because if you don't repent and withdraw, well, you're continuing in it. If you support it in any way, voluntarily, you're continuing. Now, if you're in a communist country where it's all mandatory and you have to do it by force, you know, they take your money and all that stuff and you know, it's forced upon you. Well, you know, like I said, I told the guy in my letter, I says, I hope that I am not mistaken I believe that we do still live in a free country where I'm not required to be a socialist or participate in socialism against my will. Okay? I hope that I'm not mistaken. Now, honestly, I am. I live on a piece of property and I pay rent And if you're a property owner and you pay property taxes, or you pay rent and property taxes paid through your rent, well, you're participating against your will. But you have to live somewhere or become homeless. So that's not voluntary in that case. Okay? It's not voluntary. I say, I will never volunteer to support abortion, homosexuality, all of these things that they are now licensing for the world, all of the evil and the genocides that are taking place, which I'm sure that President Trump is duped, because these are things going against, but I believe that he's being manipulated or pressured. He probably had the talk already. He probably already knows that he can only go so far with his own personal patriotic agenda, which I believe is he's genuinely trying to do the right thing. He is not the same man he's been in the past. I'm not the same man I've been in the past. That's plain to see that he's repented on a lot of things. Now, a lot of people want to hold his feet to the fire and because they want him to speak a formula, you know, formula repentance. Well, formula repentance is vain if there's no reality to back it up, if there's no true repentance to back it up, because most of the church, most of the visible church, including most Catholics, probably, you know, 95% of Catholics and probably 90%, well, that's quite a great number, 90% of the others that profess to be Christians on earth are all apostate. Yeah, and that's a pretty large number. I mean, you know, you had millions in Israel when the prophet lamented that none, you know, there are none, Lord. You know, the prophet lamented and he said, oh, well, I have yet. It appears that there's none, because I feel that at times there are none, or there's very few. I know very few people out there that are really serving God with all their heart and their mind and their soul, and with their eyes open, that are not deluded to some extent, okay? But it feels like none. So I know how the prophet feels when he said there are none. And you know what God said? I have yet, was it 7,000 in Israel? Out of the millions of their population, 7,000. So, well, you know, times that by billions, whatever it takes to get to 7 billion people, what would be the corresponding number of elect alive today? And probably if you could do the math on that, which I'm not even going to try. I need a mathematician there to figure that one out, because I really don't know what the exact or even closely to what the population was in Israel, but I'm sure there are people who could figure that out and what a corresponding number of elect would be today if it were corresponding percentage of the population, of what the population was when the prophet lamented and God told him, I have yet 7,000 men in Israel. And that would be just men, and that would, you would add to that their families. Yeah. But 7,000 men in Israel. So what would that be? You know, a couple hundred million on earth? Or I don't know. Just don't know what that number would be. But that's a small percentage, a couple hundred million out of 7 billion people. Okay, well, I thank everybody for listening to me during this hour of broadcast. Please go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and subscribe there. And I thank the few people that showed up in the chat room there. HF67, Ty, Far Out, Corporate, and WW, and all of you listening live on our Prophecy Reality News app. I hope everyone's got that on their little smartphone device. I got on mine. It's very handy as a pocket radio. Just get that Prophecy Reality News app, and you can listen to First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, live there. Except for the few times our computer hiccups and freezes up and doesn't know what to do. If anyone out there knows anything about Sam Broadcaster, I need some help, because I don't know how to set it up. Otherwise, I could maybe fix the hiccup problem that I'm having. But anyway, thank you all for listening. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you continue walking in His kingdom on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you later.